I mean, knowing that. So I don't have a mic today. Mic's not working. So if it sounds different, that's why.
Oh, okay.
Just letting you know, what episode is it? I'm fucking lost. It's episode 139. All right, cool. Ready?
Yeah.
3, 2, 1.
Yeah.
MLS Aces episode 139, and I can't believe it's already time to do
time.
Season previews, man. Jason, you're along. Jason V. Vang, how you doing, bud?
I am great. I'm so excited for the season. I just realized it's like a week away. Is it the 29th?
Yes, the 29th. CONCACAF Champions League has started. I might touch a little bit on that when we get to certain teams, but New York City FC plays tonight, so game one is tonight for
some big things. Huh?
I'm very excited. I'm wearing my NYCFC shirt right now, but I'm just honestly, this off season has felt so short, and maybe because we missed a few episodes and weeks here and there, but I'm just so excited that actual games are going to be back on soon.
Just the ability to sit down and watch on a Sunday or Saturday or whatever. And just watch these games is so fun. I just can't wait.
And, I mean, it's the 25th anniversary season.
Yeah, it's a big thing's coming.
I feel like that's the point.
We're just adding teams left and right at this point.
I mean, we did say it before that it's just like there's too many teams at this point. But, I mean, it is what it is. We got to talk about it. But before I go any
further. Wait, four more coming.
Yeah, exactly. No, we're going to be at 30 teams before you guys even know it. Before I go any further in this, we do have two sponsors for today's episode, Roughneck Scarves and Icarus FC, and I will talk about them at the end of the episode. But
thank you.
We have to dive in to the season previews. We're going to go covering the East, covering the West, make our 1 through 13 prediction for each conference. And then give maybe a little our picks for some award winners and just have some fun with this, because this is usually one of the more fun episodes of the year. So, Jason.
Let's go. Yeah.
Let's do this.
Let's do it.
The East, since, you know, pretty much everyone who consistently is on this podcast now, because we've had a lot of people be more consistently on as well, have Eastern Conference teams. So if we're going to go alphabetical order, and it'll always be this team first, it's not because they're the best team, but it's because they're just happen to have a fucking A. Atlanta United, pretty good season last year, right? They won the League's Cup. They made the playoffs, losing to Toronto FC in the Eastern Conference Finals. They won US Open Cup. That's how they made it to CONCACAF Champions League, where, if you guys watched the other night, Atlanta United drew Montegao in Honduras, I think, 1-1. So not a great start, but also a lot of guys couldn't travel with them. A lot of their new signings couldn't travel with them. Current head coach is Frank DeBoer. Some of the key players that they have, obviously you guys know the big names, Josef Martínez, Pity Martínez, Ezequiel Barklow, and Miles Robinson. Those are the main guys that are going to be relied upon to have big seasons. Some of the transfers out, some of the guys who went bye-bye this offseason, Julian Gressel, Darlington Nagbe, Breck Shea, Florentin Pogba, Justin Miram, Leandro Gonzalez-Perez, Michael Parkhurst, a lot of big names there. But they did add the likes of Brooks Lennon, Edgar Castillo, Adam Yan, Fernando Meza, and a lot of South American and Southern Central American talent. Jason, I'll start this off with you here. Atlanta United, how are you feeling about them? What do you like? What do you dislike?
I mean, they're going to be a good team, and they're going to be I'll say it right now, hot take, they're going to be in the playoffs. I mean, this is a team that at this point is very consistent. This is their fourth season. And at this point, they're just one of the teams to beat in the East. They are a team that, yeah, sure, they lost Michael Parkhurst, who was their captain, which is definitely going to hurt. Darlington Nagme going is, I think, better for the Crew. It's more of a gain for the Crew than a loss for Atlanta. I think Leandro Gonzalez-Perez, losing him is actually kind of one of the more big deals, in my opinion. I just think for his defensive abilities and the way they ran their team, I felt like he was a really good piece on that team, and it's going to be interesting to see how they replace some of their defensive losses in Gonzalez-Perez and Michael Parkhurst. But at the end of the day, they still have Yosef Martínez. They still have Ezequiel Barco. They still have Pity Martínez, Miles Robinson. I think they're in a good spot, and I think they're going to be fine. They've lost some players. They've gained some players. They've done a good job of filling the holes that they're losing.
No, I mean, I completely agree. I obviously, look, Atlanta United, they lost a lot of talent, like I said, and like you said. To me, the biggest piece is being LGP, Nagby, and Gressel. And then they come back, they try to replace that Gressel with what looks like Brooks Lennon. LGP is going to probably be replaced by Fernando Mesa, and Nagby is going to be some type of, I'm going to guess Emerson Hyman gets the starting spot, but we'll see kind of what happens in that midfield.
Maybe you see a little George Bello on defense.
maybe. If Edgar Castillo can, you know, come back from his injury soon, it'll probably be him. Maybe Bello can bounce back at some point. He's only 17, and I feel like we've been talking about him for two seasons to have the starting spot. But I mean, like, look, Atlanta United, they're going to be good. They have so much depth, so much quality. To me, my only concern with this team is, what if these guys who are brought in to replace the big pieces that are gone don't hold up and don't carry the same expectations that Atlanta United players have had in the past? Who kind of completes that 4-3-3 with the loss of Tito Villalba, right? Who's going to play that other wing? Can Pitti be the signing that they expected him to be last year? Maybe he takes on more of a responsibility and more of a growth in his position. Same with Barco. Can they be the other two guys to help out Yosef have this team being a top three team in the East? That's what I'm looking at. Because honestly, look, Yosef can go out, he can score 28 goals, and Atlanta United can finish fourth in the East, then it'll be fine, right? They'll make the playoffs. They'll do well in the playoffs. Frank De Boer's shown that he's done well in knockout quality competition. But can Yosef have some more help? And that's really what I'm looking at, especially Miles Robinson, too, from a U.S. Men's National Team standpoint. Can he be that best 11 defender on this back line, too?
Yeah.
All right, cool. So I think we're both pretty high on Atlanta United.
It's hard not to be with the, yeah, what they've shown us over the years.
With how they operate as a club in general, it's just like they're going to be successful, right? And they still have the names. They still have some of the names there. I'm looking at Jeff Laurentiewicz also at like 50 years old to still kill it wherever he's playing. Let's go to Chicago, the brand new Chicago Fire FC. Last year, not too much of a successful season for the Fire, missing out on the playoffs. So we get a whole new rebrand. We get a new rebranded logo. We're heading to Soldier Field. Head coach gone, Rafael Vicky in. Making some DP signings. We got Ignacio Alcieta, Robert Berich. It's like, damn, the Fire actually kind of, with a super, super, super slow start to the offseason, they actually came back and made some decent signings. I would still say there's probably some more signings I'd like to see.
There's more to come. There's more coming.
Hey, I'll trust you on this, and I'll toss this to you in 2 seconds. But I just like to note that some big names lost, right? Dax McCarty out, Bastian Schweinsteiger out, Alexander Katai and Nemanja Nikolic out. But these are your boys. How are you feeling about your boys? And if you think there's more news coming, then that'd be a surprise to me.
So I've been up and down. Like, obviously, like you said, it's been more of like some late signings here. More of them are coming in later in the year or in the off season. I think that's partly because of the rebrand, because of the Mansueto buying out Hauptmann So new owner or majority owner. There's been a lot of turnaround, and I think they were really focused on like the ins and outs of moving facilities, figuring out kind of all the logistics behind that. So the signings, I don't want to say take a backseat, but are coming in later than, you know, some of these teams who have made 4, 5, 6, 7 signings. But I did see that Luka Stojanovic is rumored with the Fire. Seems he's plays for the Serbian First Division. I think it's like Super League, Serbia. And I think Ignacio Aliseda was actually confirmed either yesterday or today.
You know, Aliseda was a confirmed signing.
It was today, though, right, that they confirmed it?
Yesterday?
Maybe it was yesterday. Either way, I think that's a really big move that kind of helps. He's a young guy. He's only 19. I think that kind of fills that Kitai hole a little bit. If he can, obviously you want to see him put out some output. But he's a good player. And then this Luka Stojanovic, he's, I believe, a midfield, kind of like an attacking midfielder. And he's pretty good. I mean, currently he had 19 games played in the Serbian Super League, and he had 9 goals and an assist. So between those two guys, he's 26 also. So I think that we've gotten better, even though we've lost Nemanja Nikolic, who I would say didn't have the best season last year. Obviously, I love Sapong, and he's staying. We still have Georgi Mihaljevic, Jonathan Bornstein, who's decent. We still have some good players, and there's some more coming in. Like you said, Robert Berek is a pretty big addition. Alvaro Medrón with TAM, I think they signed. So, yeah. New head coach as well, and I think that's the biggest thing. Right now, there's a new head coach. There's a lot of new players. There's a new stadium. There's a new logo. There's new colors, essentially, new jerseys. It's almost like they just started over. And for me, I'm excited because I hope this means this is a big step forward for the team. And I believe it will be. I think they're going to be a good team. Maybe not, you know, at the top of the table, but I don't think we'll be at the bottom.
See, like, the starting 11, once I started putting it together a little bit for the Fire, didn't look bad to me, right? Like, if Aliseda, yes, he's 19, signed as a DP, that worries me a little bit, because, like, that's a lot of money thrown at a kid that, what if he doesn't turn out? You cross your fingers and you hope he turns out, but, I mean, he's most likely going to be a starting winger right on the left. I said right on the left. He's going to most likely be the starting left winger, with Frankowski most likely being that right winger with Berić in the middle, right? If those three can show some of the talent and some of the put out that they've done in the past, with Aliseda and Berić coming to MLS for their first season, with Frankowski showing some flashes last year, then the Fire attack could be pretty good with Georgi, Alvaro Medrón, like you said, coming over from La Liga, playing right behind them. Where I get worried is that holding midfielder spot, to me right now, it looks like Michael Azira coming over from the Impact. You mm-hmm. still Kapelhoff there, and Francisco Calvo most likely looks like he's going to be playing center back again, where everyone knows he's publicly said he loves playing center back. And then Bornstein, he's 34. You know, obviously, if he's playing on the right, you have Miguel Navarro, that young international left back you guys signed. I don't know if he's starting quality right now. If not, Bornstein's playing on the left. And then you have Boris Sekulic, the new right back signing that you guys made, which he's in his prime. Mm-hmm. He's pretty good, too. But there's still some questions for me defensively for the Fire, for me to be super confident right off the bat. Things could work out, right? Things could work out really well, and I hope that it does. But right now, present day, I have the Fire in that like middle tier section of the East, kind of pushing a little bit farther down to the bottom tier.
Yeah, I understand. But okay, so it actually was like an hour ago that Luka Stojanovic was like, it's not like official, but it's
official, wink, wink.
It's like only details are left for it to happen. Like it's basically official. Like you're not putting him on the list of players on the team yet, like the active roster, but it's close.
So if Stojanovic comes over, my guess would be Madron and Stojanovic play next to each other in like that attacking midfield, bumping Georgie to the bench.
To the bench is like a super sub. I don't know.
Yeah, which fine, right? He's shown his flashes of being very good in Major League Soccer. It's just still like that doesn't answer much of the defensive question marks I have. Like Kapovol have his greatest season last year. Like I said, you know, Calvo, obviously we know his issues. There's questions on the fullback options you guys have. And I'm also not super thrilled with Kenny Kronholm in net. So I don't know. I
will
think...
say I'm happier with this team than I was going into last season.
Oh, without a doubt. Because you guys were relying on like Jorge Corrales at left back.
And what did we finish, what, like just out of the playoffs last season?
Yeah, what, 10th?
I'm going to look it up. I think we were just out of it.
You made a late push. I remember that.
Overall table. Oh, this is a whole thing. I just wanted... Okay. Eastern Cup. We were eighth. We were 3 points out.
I mean, look. The Fire, they built off something last year that you
guys... And they had a +8 goal differential with that crap back line.
Exactly. And last year you guys lost a lot of players heading into the season, not really making those gains. And yeah, this year you guys lost a lot of players too, but on top of that you made a lot of signings.
This year we made a much better additions and signings.
So yes, I would say the Fire are on the up instead of even like staying stagnant.
We just need to be better than one team from last year's playoffs and we're in.
All right, cool. Well, let's turn to another team that looks like they will be better than last year, which not super difficult to do, but FC Cincinnati. Last year in 2019, they finished dead last in the East or 12th in the East with
technically the Columbus Crew is next, but we're going to, and DC United, but that's okay.
Well, I'm going this order, so you follow my order now. But yeah, so they finished dead last in the East. They had the worst amount of goals allowed in a season, an MLS record, which is always fun to have in your first ever season in Major League Soccer. But they're looking to bounce back. They were going with Ron Jans for the longest little bit of this season. Then reports came out that Jans was apparently rapping along to a song in the locker room with his players and used a no-no word in English language, which, you know, just you don't do. You don't do in the workplace. You don't do as a white guy. So, you know, zero self-awareness there from Ron's. So he got fired or he stepped away from the club, however way you want to look at it. So the current interim head coach is going to be Johan Demet, who was the interim head coach last year after Alan Koch got fired. So they're on a little bit of a spiral downwards after what looked like a pretty good offseason. Currently, you know, they're on that head coach hunt. But transfers in this offseason, Brandon Vasquez, Tom Peterson, Harris Madungin, and Jurgen Lacadia, Yuya Kobo, Adrian Regatine. Today, De Jong from Ajax, not Frankie.
Not the right one.
What's his first name? Do you know?
I can't
off the top of my head.
I do not remember his first name.
Right, it's cool. It's a De Jong from Ajax, so you know he's going to be pretty good. He's a little bit older, 30 years old.
His name is like Siem, S-I-E-M.
Siem De Jong. That's
Siem?
Siem? Yep. Nope, Siem. He's a little bit older, apparently. Pretty good. But he's not gonna go like sprinting at in a back line, but he's gonna make those right passes. And for the attackers they added, looks like he might be a pretty good piece. They did lose some pieces though. Not that that's a super bad thing for a record awful team. Leonardo Bertone, Fernando Adi, Emmanuel Ledesma, Alvis Powell, Roland Lama, Victor Ulloa. They're some of the key notable guys that are no longer with FC Cincinnati. So I kind of want to start off here because I've been
go ahead.
I've been pretty high on Cincy this offseason. And if you guys don't know, we added another podcast under the MLS Aces umbrella, the You Ain't Lying pod. You can find it wherever you guys listen to podcasts. So Spotify, iTunes, anything like that. And it's Travis Grimes and Nate Hale. They are, you know, bloggers for us at MLSAces.com. And they run an FC Cincinnati specific podcast and do a pretty, pretty good job at it. So go check them out if you want to hear super, super in-depth stuff. But I like where this team's doing, right? I think that the attack is looking pretty good with Regatine, Kubo on the wings, Lacadia. If he wants to stay past that six-month loan, which is the key thing for me this season for Cincinnati, then Cincinnati might make a playoff push. If he uses this as kind of a springboard where he can just show off how good he is and he wants to leave after that six-month loan, maybe play at Brighton, maybe go play somewhere else full-time, then Cincinnati's still going to be in some trouble. You know, Alan Cruz, a box-to-box guy, finally got some help with CM Deong being there. He doesn't have to be a playmaking 10 because that's not what Cruz is. And adding so much experience with Madungeon, the experience you have there with Waston and Garza. My biggest concern for FC Cincinnati outside of the Lacadia long-term stay is injury-prone. CM Deong, injury-prone. Greg Garza, injury-prone. You got some age with Harris Madungeon and Kendall Waston, who I think they're 34 years old each. There's some concerns here for me for Cincinnati. I like what they're doing. I like what they've done. I think if everyone's healthy, that there's a lot of talent on the field. But getting it to mesh and getting them to stay consistently on the field is where I have my concerns.
Yeah, I think you're higher on them than I am. I just don't think they're that good. They've made some good signings, I agree. I think this whole situation with Ron Jans is pretty shitty.
It's pretty fucked.
And I mean, it not only is just like a horrible thing to happen, but it's also just like, it's just such a morale just killer. But I don't know. I don't really think this team is that good. I think they're still a year off.
No, I don't disagree with you there. I think the attack is actually pretty good, right? Like, I think Lacadia has the, and we've talked about it before on this podcast, I don't want to get super deep into it, but I think Lacadia has the ability to be a top five striker in Major League Soccer. Mm-hmm. And then again, that depends on if he stays past the summer, which he might not, you know, so there's a lot to it. But we'll see. We'll see.
Are they better than last year? Definitely. Are they a playoff team? I don't think so.
We'll talk about that at the end, sir. So we'll go to a team that technically should have been next on the list. And the Hell is Real rival to SC Cincinnati, Columbus Crew SC. 2019, not going to say was the greatest season for Columbus, right? They finished 10th in the East, made a little bit of a bounce back toward the end of the season. But Caleb Porter in his first season with the Crew, I think, slowly but surely was getting his guys in the door and some of Berhalter's guys out. So some major transfers in: Lucas Zelarayan, Darlington Nagbe, Fernando Adi, Derek Etienne Jr., and Vito Wormgor. Some pretty notable transfers out, mainly the big two for me: Pipa Higuain, Will Trapp, two long stays of the Columbus Crew, gone. So it's going to be a very different looking Columbus Crew team in 2020. The Crew. I mean, Caleb Porter's got his Crew there, I think.
I mean, he got Darlington Nagbe. I think that is a pretty important get for him because obviously they were together in Portland.
Yeah, I mean, look, I think I made the joke earlier in the offseason on Twitter. I was like, Porter's trying to get the 2015 Portland Timbers back on the field.
Portland 2.0.
With Adi and fucking Nagbe back on the field together. But, you know, look, Nagbe played a serious, like, huge part for Atlanta United last year, being that holding midfielder guy. Like, it's almost impossible to get the ball off of Nagby's feet once he has the ball at his possession. And he's going to do a really great job, in my opinion, connecting, like, Artur as the deep-lying midfielder up to Lucas Zelarayan as the attacking midfielder.
Yeah, I really think they've improved. And, I mean, you didn't even mention Eloy Room. He's coming back. he is
I'm
a
first. Sorry.
He's a great goalkeeper. One of the, like, I wish the Fire had him. And obviously, like, whether you love him or hate him, Giassi Zardes, he still scores goals. So he's still going to score goals. And he's proven to be someone you can rely on as that number nine in MLS.
Yeah, look, I think Zardes is going to have a very, very nice season. Obviously, the crew got much, much better, right? Luis Diaz is going to be there for a full season, delivering balls into Zardes. And Zelarayan, I'm so excited to see what he can transfer from Tigres to the crew. I mean, like, watching highlights and some game film of Tigres, Zelarayan is going to absolutely light it up in Major League Soccer. Yeah. To me, he kind of reminds me of a little bit of a younger, flashier Maxi Morales type.
They spent $7 million on him, too.
Club record deal for Zelarayan. I really think he's going to be, like, a game changer. The biggest fault of Zelarayan is sometimes he likes to do it too much by himself, right? Like, sometimes he likes to run out of defense by himself when he loses it, and then that causes a quick turnaround and a goal against. But I think that his coming here, and obviously Caleb Porter trusts him to man to head that midfield, I really think it's going to be a really good time. And also having Fernando Adi and Derek Etienne Jr. coming off the bench, I don't hate that at all either.
I think too, like, a year where you have a new coach, like Caleb Porter came in last year, it's sort of a transition period. And I think this year we really should look to see steps forward. And I think so far, I would say they have done that.
Without a doubt. And I think you have to trust Caleb Porter. And that's the reason why you bring in Caleb Porter, is because you trust them to pretty much create a brand new culture and win wherever he goes, right? So Caleb Porter to me is like the American Jose Mourinho, but like like older Jose. Or
yeah.
Younger Jose? Whatever. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Cool. Let's go over to DC United, Uncle Sam's favorite team. We're now Daddy Sam's favorite team. DC had a pretty successful 2019 season. They finished fifth in the East. Things didn't go well for them in the playoffs, but for what they got out of a declining Wayne Rooney and not really getting the same Lucho Acosta in 2019, I think DC can't be too upset with what they put out last year. They still have Ben Olsen back, so, you know, they lose head coach Wayne Rooney. They got to bring up Ben
Olsen. Wayne Rooney and Acosta were basically on their way out anyway.
Yeah, so, you know, they were just prepping Ben Olsen to become the next head coach for DC. But
he has a job still.
Besides Wayne Rooney and Lucho Acosta, the only other really major transfer out to me is Chris Durkin, who's out on loan, I think, in like some Scandinavian country where he's starting, so good for him. But some major transfers in for DC United. Yamil Assad obviously came over at the end of last season, but he came over on a 2020 contract, so he's back. Julian Gressel was the big move, along with Edison Flores, the Peruvian international, right? So, DC, I'm super high on them. I'm very, very excited to see what they come out with. I think the major hurting point for them is the news that just came out this past week that Paul Arriola tore his ACL. So, if you want to look half glass full, you clear up the confusion of how you get Julian Gressel and Paul Arriola to play on the same side of the field. You eliminate one guy, right? That's the half glass full look. If you want to look half glass empty, you lose a major, major talented player. You lose a DP. So, I don't know. What are you thinking about DC?
I am high on them as well. I think the people they lost, Wayne Rooney, Luciano Acosta, like I said, they were kind of on their way out. There was rumors. There was all this going on. And it seems like they got two guys out that it was kind of needed. It wasn't – I mean, it hurts because those are good players, but it wasn't – I think from a full team point of view, it's not a bad thing. like you said, Yamil Assad is coming in. That's a huge signing. Julian Gressel, another big signing. It sucks that Pauly Arriola is out, and it hurts because, as an American, obviously I like to see him do well because I think he's a good player. But like you said, Julian Gressel can kind of fill in there. And I don't know. I think they're going to be fine. I think they're going to be good. And they're going to be a scary team to play.
I mean, exactly. And I think defensively, you have to give them their shouts too, right? Russell Knauss is a defensive midfielder, but I think with all these moves of Areola getting hurt and Gressel probably bumping up to play the right wing, I would say Knauss probably goes to right back where he was playing at the end of last season, and he's doing a pretty good job. Joseph Mora, Frederick Brilliant, Steve Birnbaum, and obviously big Bill Hamid in net. Like, I think that looking across this starting 11, DC United has one of the better starting 11s in Major League Soccer. I just think their biggest thing is when you get to the bench, not a lot of depth there, right? Like, they got a lot of holes, a lot of young players that need to step up to be depth pieces. So it'll be interesting to see if they can make any more signings. But, I mean, I think initially looking at this squad, if everyone can stay healthy, obviously rotating in a few players here and there, I think DC United's going to be pretty good. I have them in my top tier.
I agree. Yeah, we can move on if you want.
I know we can. Let's go on down to our first expansion squad, Inter Miami. 2019 season, they didn't play, so can't really tell you much. Head coach is Diego Alonso, a pretty impactful signing as a head coach coming into Major League Soccer for their first season. Yes, it's not a Tata Martino level player, but the dude knows how to win in CONCACAF, especially in Mexico and CONCACAF Champions League. Transfers in everybody pretty much. Not pretty much, it is everybody. They transferred out one player, Brian Meredith, a goalkeeper they signed. They transferred him over to Vancouver. I mean, you got to talk about the signing they just legit made a few days ago in Rodolfo Pizarro from Liga MX. Pizarro not playing consistently well down in Mexico, but especially if you want to look at key moments he had in Gold Cups, in last year's CONCACAF Champions League, what he's done for Mexico, like I said, Pizarro can ball out. And I think having a team surrounding him, especially with some of the younger pieces that they've kind of started to build this squad with, I think Inter Miami will be okay. I'm not super sold on a lot of pieces other than Pizarro, maybe, obviously experience with Will Trapp, Luis Robles. I like the center back signing of Jorge Figal. But other than like some other, maybe other names, I'm not super crazy about what Inter Miami looks like they're going to throw out on the field.
I mean, it's impossible to predict these new teams because despite their signings, it also matters how they work together on the field. I mean, this is everyone coming in from all different places all at once, essentially. But I think they do have some good MLS guys. Like, they got Ben Sweat, Alvis Paul, and Lee Wynn from the expansion draft, who I think are... I think that's a pretty good expansion draft, if you ask me. But like you said, Luis Robles, Roman Torres is also there, who I think is a pretty reliable guy, or he has been. I think he's getting older now, but I don't know. And Will Trapp, he's kind of a controversial guy among Americans, but I think this could really help him kind of, I don't know, a change of scenery could really change the way he kind of thinks about everything.
No, I mean, look, Will Trapp in Major League Soccer circles, in Major League Soccer terms, I think it's a very good defensive midfielder. I just don't know if it's at U.S. men's national team level where I would want it, but I do agree with you. I think the thing that saves Inter Miami from avoiding being FC Cincinnati of last year or Minnesota United of when they came in a few years ago is that they have a lot of, like, MLS dudes, right? Like, a lot of MLS staples, like you mentioned some, but like also like Juan Agudelo and AJ De La Garza. Like, these dudes have been around, their experience, they know how Major League Soccer plays, and they're not going to just be relying on a bunch of USL players or players coming over from South America or Europe to kind of fill out a majority of the starting 11. So I think Inter Miami are going to be capable enough to put some competition out on the field. I'm just not overly thrilled with what they've done, especially with what seems to be like 20 years in the making of this club for me. So, you have anything else you want to say about Miami?
No, I agree with you. I think they're going to be better than Nashville.
Ooh, okay. That feels like that's a little bit of a hot take. Maybe not.
Yeah, maybe it is. Maybe it's not. But I think they will be better than Nashville.
Right.
And that's kind of the bar at this point, right?
I mean, I think the bar is being better than FC Cincinnati of last year. I think that's the bar.
I think that shouldn't be the bar because that's like setting yourself up for failure.
I have super low expectations for expansion teams, I think.
Yeah. I mean, you should just look at the Chicago Fire.
That's
or that, or I mean, Atlanta could be the bar.
Yeah, probably. LAFC, you know any of them. All right, so let's move over to another team that actually already played their first meaningful game, the Montreal Impact. 2019, not the best season for them. They finished ninth in the East. They made a little bit of a late push too, along with the Fire, but you know, unfortunately, I just think there was a lack of talent there.
Yeah, like a minus 10 goal differential.
I mean, the points were still there, though. So that's what you
got. They were.
So that's what you got to look at.
So the math worked out there somehow.
I did say that they've already played a meaningful game. At time of recording, actually last night, they went down to Costa Rica, down to play Saprissa, one of the more notable teams outside of the Big Two teams in Big Two leagues in CONCACAF. They were up 2-0 at one point, and then drew 2-2 down in Costa Rica. So two away goals is nice for CONCACAF Champions League heading up to Canada where they got to hold it down. So, you know, last year they did win the Canadian Championship to get that CONCACAF Champions League spot, so good for them. But they kind of went through a little big – a big change of their own.
You're going to say a little big change, which is –
a little big change, you know, one of those good big little changes, little big changes. Thierry Henry. Red Bull legend, right? That's what everyone knows him for. No, Arsenal legend, Ballon d'Or finalist Thierry Henry is now the new head coach of the Montreal Impact. And we talked about this when it came out, but I was really interested to see how he came out playing, right? Like, especially last night. Yes, there were some injuries, but this is the first meaningful, significant game. He came out in a 5-2-3. It was really interesting. And he had the Impact pressing the shit out of Saprissa. Just high presses everywhere. Jorge Corrales actually looked good playing the left back role. Do I expect that being the starting 11 and starting formation that they throw out every single game this year? No. I think it was kind of what it had to be, but it just got me very excited for what this potential attack could be for the Impact. Orji Okwankwo, Romel Kyoto, Lassie Lapalainen, Bojan. I really think those four, however they want to line up from left to right, probably Bojan being that center forward behind Okwankwo at striker, but they rotate, they can all kind of run at you, they can all hit a good ball. And I think if the Impact are going to do anything this season, defensively they didn't get much better, but I think offensively they could be something team should have to kind of game plan for.
I don't think they're good.
I just said offensively they could be a little scary.
Yeah, but they also lost Ignacio Piatti.
I mean, you lost a 36-year-old winger. Okay.
Yeah. Also, the team's leading MLS goal scorer and assists. So for their team.
I mean, fine.
They're losing a lot. Plus, I think CONCACAF Champions League actually could hurt them.
Oh, without a doubt. That's going to do that.
This team is not geared up for extra games. They should not be playing extra games. And I don't see this going that great. Also, Thierry Henry, I'm really not sold on him as a manager. We've seen what happened at, was it Milan?
No, it was Monaco.
Monaco, yeah. And that didn't end that well. So, yeah, I'm really not sold on this team. You kind of talked him up a lot. And I'm still just like, meh.
Because I feel when we got to this part for the impact. I really just didn't want to start off by shitting on them, but I will give my negatives is that defensively, I think they're trash. I think their best defensive player is Rod Fani, or Fanny, however you say it. He's 38 years old. Like,
they lost Daniel Lovitz, who I actually think is a solid MLS defender.
Daniel Lovitz is probably their best defender, and you lose him, right? You lose Victor
Cabrera.
Zakari Diallo, you lost so many defensive pieces that they just didn't replace. I really like Zach Brault Guillard, the Canadian international right back. He's just super young. He's going to make his mistakes. But like Clement Diop seems to somehow have played his way into a starting goalkeeper spot over Evan Bush. The big major defensive signing you get is Joel Waterman, who was, I think, a best 11 defender for the Canadian Premier League. Like, that's cool, but is that really what you want, like, to improve your club? Not really. Like, the impact, they have a lot of things going against them. I'll just say that. Head coaching-wise, I don't think they have a lot going there. Defensively, I don't think they have a lot going there. I think the attack can be pretty scary, but everyone just kind of seems to be a winger, and no one really seems to be able to play anything else other than that. So I don't know. I'm not super high on the impact. I'm excited to see them score goals. That's my big thing for them. All right, the Revolution, we'll jump to New England, or jump down to New England from Montreal. I think that's how that works. Yep. So the New England Revolution, they made the playoffs in 2019.
Like, feels weird to say that.
That's weird, right? But you bring in Bruce Arena and things change. They made the playoffs as the 7 seed. Obviously, didn't go great with Atlanta United in the playoffs. But Bruce Arena had these boys playing some pretty, pretty above-average soccer. I'm not going to say good soccer, but definitely above average. They bring in Adam Buska as a DP forward this offseason. They also bring in Alex Butner, Kellen Rowe, Seth Sinovic. So some MLS guys also with some European flair to it. They lost out on Juan Agudelo, which is weird to see him not play for the Revs now. Edgar Castillo, Jaleel Anibaba. But I think the Revs got better. You know, obviously last season you looked at Carles Hill and Gustavo Bo as the guys who are really going to lead this team to any type of success. And they did that, right? And I think adding in Adam Buska, who is probably going to go play one wing with Pena on the other side, I think the attack could be pretty good. Give Hill some more options and give Bo some more support. I also like Brandon Bye on the defense. I think Brandon Bye really proved himself as a really good right back, right wing back, whatever you want to consider him. And I think the Rebs might improve off of a pretty good 2019 campaign.
Yeah, I think really there's just one man, and that's Bruce Arena. I mean, Bruce Arena replacing Brad Friedel is—I don't even know if there's a comparison. There's just not. It's just the best. Like, you couldn't ask for a better guy to replace him. And I think they're going to be much better. I really don't have a ton to say. I think a full season with Bruce Arena is great. Obviously, Carlos, is it Gil?
Heel.
That's what I thought it was. Yeah. He's coming back. Gustavo Bo. I mean, you mentioned these guys. But at the end of the day, like, if Arena can get this team clicking, I think they have the talent to make the playoffs. But I think they're still going to be in a similar position where they're in, like, my middle of the table kind of ground.
So the way I explain Caleb Porter as being like the past Jose Mourinho, that like you bring him in and like success follows like in year two or three, right? Whatever that thing is about Jose. I feel like Bruce Arena's developing into like present day Jose Mourinho. Like, doesn't really give a shit if he wins. Nah. It's like, I don't know if just having Bruce Arena there like changes everything
completely. I mean, he's making all the decisions now.
Which worries me.
It could be a great thing or a horrible thing.
Then that's exactly what I'm looking at, but like thinking about. But like, I don't know. We'll see how things go. I definitely think they're just as good or slightly better, but I don't think it's been this major turnaround for the Revs to finish higher than, you know, seventh in the East this year. But awesome. So let's go to my boys. I want to go to my boys first. NYCFC 2019 season first in the Eastern Conference, and we lost to Toronto FC in the Eastern Conference semifinals. We also lost our head coach, but we go out, we get Ronnie Delia, a guy who has a pretty good history behind him. He likes to strip on the field when he's excited, and that's what I want. He already came out and promised the fans that if NYCFC win a trophy, he will strip again, and that's what I'm here for. So you better hope NYCFC can win at least the U.S. Open Cup this year, because we'll see a naked head coach in Major League Soccer. Not many major transfers in. I think the biggest one, obviously, was bringing back Keaton Parks on a permanent deal. Like you said earlier about Inter Miami, whatever, we lost Ben Sweat. That's tough. But before I give my speech about NYCFC, I want to hear what you're thinking about them.
I'm thinking that Iber, Mitrita, Morales, and Castellanos are all returning. And that is a lot of output to return. And you guys, like you said, I feel like the only real person you lost was Ben Sweat. You're bringing in, like you said, Keaton Parks, also Gideon Zelalem, who
Arsenal legend.
He's kind of bounced around, but I'm excited to see if he can start, you know, improving here in the MLS. But like I said, I mean, it's those four guys. They're going to be producing. They're not going to stop producing. I don't think you guys, I mean, you lost your coach, but you didn't get worse. So, and you guys finished first in the East last year.
Yeah, see, like, the biggest thing to me is, like, look, if we still had Domi Torrent, I'd be like NYCFC, lock in for first place. We legit have the same team. Some of our younger players got better. We got healthier in some spots. Like, I agree with the notion that NYCFC has a top five player at each position as well. Like, if you look at our starting 11, I think that each player of our starting 11, you can consider a top five player at their respective position. And I really just think that we're going to be fucking good if we can figure out a goddamn fucking stadium situation.
I think we're going to see a naked head coach.
I think we could see a naked head coach maybe multiple times if we had our own stadium, goddammit. But
yeah, get a stadium. Figure that shit out.
Yeah, apparently there's another rumor out there. I don't believe it, but whatever. Well,
they're always there.
Yeah, the rumors are always floating around. But yeah, look, defensively, I think we're solid. I think in the midfield, we can hold it down, lock it down. And then in the attack, there's not many that can score better than what we can do. So I don't know. I'm high on our chances. I also think some of the youth we have coming up, like I said, Joe Scally, who was already sold to Borussia Mönchengladbach, but we're going to hang on to him this season, probably is going to get some minutes for Anton Tinnerholm, who like was abused last season with the amount of minutes he had to put in. James Sands is healthy, and he was looking really good when he was starting for us last year. So I'm excited. I'm very excited. I really think that, you know, this could be another big year for NYCFC. But let's go across the river. Let's go across the Hudson to Jersey. The New York Red Bulls finished last season in the playoffs. It wasn't the most successful season from them. It was weird seeing the Red Bulls never really having that turn it on moment. They still have Chris Armas as their head coach, but they lost a lot. Like, and more than a typical Red Bull losing offseason.
Kamar and Lawrence, some people who've been there for a long time.
Exactly. Kamar Lawrence, gone. Michael Murillo, gone. Bradley Wright Phillips, gone. Robles, gone. Connor Lade, retired. Derek Etienne Jr. and Vincent Bezicourt, they're gone. So that's kind of pieced together what they put together, what they brought back. Josh Sims, they brought him back from Southampton on his loan deal. Mandela Egbo was a right back that they brought in, but probably won't start. And it looks like it's just going to be a bunch of RB2 players coming up and refilling what the Red Bulls do. It's just that this time I don't think there's that much talent coming up on from the RB2 level. But I don't know, man. I really don't even know where to start here.
they've surprised us before with some RB2 guys.
Yeah.
But I agree. Aaron Long, I don't know if he is here the whole season. He seems like he kind of wants out, and there's been interest. But at the end of the day, this team got a lot worse.
Yeah, like the
it's just facts. They got worse.
In the past, like the RB2 players that came up and like replenished this Red Bull roster were like record like setting teams in USL, right? Like this isn't the same type of player that's coming up right now. Like you said, Aaron Long, I don't think he's super happy with the Red Bulls. I think he's probably wishing like, hey, I wish you sold me to a Premier League team.
Well, he's not going to be happy this year. He's
exactly.
Going to have to do a lot.
He's going to have to hold shit down. Him and Tim Parker are probably looking like the best parts of this lineup. Brian White is going to be your full-time replacement now for BWP. Kyle Duncan, I really like him at right back, but he's injury-prone. And James Tolkien, to me, is the only left back on the roster. James Tolkien is also 16 years old. So I really don't know where they're going with this. It's very, very strange. Like, yes, fine, they move on from their older players. They constantly do it. They did it with Dax. They did it with Robles, BWP, they Sasha. They keep doing it, right? But it doesn't seem like they brought anyone in that's really going to do really well. I don't know. I'm really, like, I'm mind blown with how garbage the Red Bulls offseason was.
Really just uncharacteristic. Bad.
All right, so if you want to talk about characteristically bad, not uncharacteristically bad, let's go to Orlando City.
So they're going to be bad again. All right, end of discussion.
I mean, yeah, you're not wrong, right? Orlando City haven't made the playoffs ever in their time as a professional club. I think the biggest move they made this offseason was a brand new head coach, Oscar Pereja, coming in and I think trying to be a complete culture change type of guy. Or at least that's what they're hoping he's going to be, right? Kind of maybe trying to develop Orlando City into what FC Dallas is present day, or at least what FC Dallas was by the time Pereja left there. Big signings, Junior Urso, Pedro Gaisse, Andres Pereja. Those are the big three that are probably going to take over some starting spots. Obviously, this is Pereja's connection from Liga MX and from South America, right? But Sasha Kljestan's gone, Will Johnson's gone, Lamine Sané gone. I don't know. I don't hate this Orlando City team, but that doesn't also mean I'm going to pick them for the playoffs. I like what Sebastian Mendez and Ruan did last year, right? Mendez had a pretty good year at defensive midfield. They bring him back permanently. Ruan, I think, pretty good right back. But I also just don't see the likes of Nani, Dwyer, and Chris Cash Mueller kind of figuring it out like they couldn't do last year. They had a period where they were scoring goals and looking dominant, but if you're looking at the overall stretch of the season offensively, they just couldn't figure it out and relied on Nani to just be Nani.
Yeah, I agree. I don't think they're going to be good. It's an easy pick, but it's just they're not going to be good. I think you've said most of it. I really don't have that much to add.
I think they'll be better points-wise. Maybe not position in the table, but definitely points-wise. Awesome. So let's jump to the Union. Let's jump to Philly, where Philly had a pretty surprisingly good season last year. Jim Curtin turned things around with the boys there.
Even with a DP that didn't really work.
Yeah, even with that. So some of the major transfers in, they bring back Jamiro Montero on a permanent deal. They bring in a starting defensive midfielder in Matej Orovec. Jose Martinez and Jacob Glesnes are the other major incoming players that you might see get some major minutes in 2020. But Corey Burke out, Austin Trusty out, Fafa Picolt out, Harris Madungenin and Marco Fabian out and out. I'll let you take over the Uni here. What you thinking?
So, I mean, they still have Casper, whatever his last name is, that they can't really pronounce. Who's He's a good goal scorer. I mean, he's going to keep doing that, I think. They signed Sergio Santos, too. Did you mention him? I didn't.
So he was there last year, but he was hurt for a while.
Oh, okay. That makes sense.
Yeah, it's probably why, yeah.
Now he's going to be there, I assume. And I think he's going to be pretty good. They have Brendan Aaronson, who's, I mean, only 19, but he's gotten the U.S. men's national team cap. Losing Austin Trusty, I think, is kind of tough, but they still have Mark McKenzie, who I think he's looked shaky a little bit at times, but he's still a good player, and I think he's just getting better, just growing, and the more he plays, the better he's going to become.
Yeah.
And then they keep guys like Bedoya, who's been there forever and who's a guy that's a good leader. So I still see them as a team. Like, last year, they really surprised me. This time, I hope they don't surprise me, because that means they're really bad. So, no, yeah, I think they're going to be good.
I like how Jim Curtin plays these guys, right? Like, I really think that they have a good balance defensively. Like you said, McKenzie, and I also like Jack Elliott playing the other center back role. I think that between Santos and Shabilko, they can score. I really like the balance in the midfield. If Orovech can kind of maybe do a little bit more defensively that Madungeon didn't do in that number six role, then I think the Union could be even better. But for me, it's like I'm looking at the top tier in the East, and the Union were there last year, but they still didn't have enough firepower to get them over Atlanta United. And to me, I'm like, I don't know if they did enough to do that. Like, I don't know if they did enough this offseason to be like, ah, yeah, you guys can get over Atlanta United now. I
think
believe that.
I think my take is they did enough to be a solid playoff team. And once you're in the playoffs, now that it's this single game kind of thing, elimination, anything can happen.
I mean, I guess so, man. I don't know. I think the Union, like, they need to go from, okay, fine, last year they won their first ever playoff game, to like, okay, let's be serious and let's be a serious contender, especially in a weaker Eastern Conference. Like, they should, you know, it's like, to me at least, they should be doing that. And I think they're hoping a lot on, like, Aaronson and guys like that to develop into superstars, but I don't know. We'll see. Let's go to the last team in the East, team number 13, Toronto FC. Made it to MLS Cup last year off an amazing run, but couldn't get the job done in MLS Cup, unfortunately. Head coach is Greg Vanney, who I think is easily now arguably the best coach in Major League Soccer. I mean, I think you have to give it to him for what he's done, especially
he's in the top three.
Yeah, for sure.
At the very least.
For sure. And that's why I said you can argue it. Transfers in, they haven't made much moves to bring players in, right? A lot of their moves came at the middle or end of last year to make that run. But their one big move in, DP Pablo Piatti coming over from La Liga, 30 years old. And kind of that move to me shows we're here to win now. We're here to continue this run. But it's going to be tough to continue a run that doesn't include Michael Bradley as your number six, because he will be out for a long, long, long time. Probably looking more at a playoff push is when Bradley will be returning to the squad. But Toronto FC, TFC, how are you feeling heading into the season with them?
I mean, this is just tough for me because they've surprised me before. Obviously, pretty much all playoffs last season. They were like the one team I picked wrong against every single round. But I think the Michael Bradley injury is a pretty big setback for them. And I don't know if they've done enough to... I mean, they were fourth in the East last season. I don't think they're fourth in the East this season.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, for me, it's just... I don't think they got any better.
Look, and I can agree with that. Like, when I was heading in, or like heading into the offseason with TFC, with the whole Michael Bradley being a free agent thing, and then they signed him on a TAM deal, right? Like, that was the big move. You got Bradley, who was a DP last year, on a TAM deal. That means you can bring in another DP, and TFC's pretty much running around with four DPs on the 11, right? Bradley going down is tough. They do have the depth to replace him, I think, with Jonathan Osorio, Marky Delgado, and Pazuello kind of controlling that midfield. And those are three very good players, right? You have Nick Daly coming off the bench, too, who did it well in their playoff push last year, in their MLS Cup push last year. Liam Fraser, a youngster coming up from TFC2, who got a lot of minutes last year. I think he could potentially benefit from Bradley going down, but do they have enough to me to be back in the MLS Cup, maybe even a higher Eastern Conference seed? No, especially with, you know, how we know Josie Altidore gets injured a decent amount, Chris Mavinga gets injured a decent amount. It's going to take a lot. It's going to take some pretty amazing seasons from guys like Osorio or Omar Gonzalez, or, you know, even Pazuello kind of leading the way for them. So I want to trust Vanny, and that's where I'm kind of pushing in my head, is trusting Vanny, but we'll see. We'll see. Do you have any other points you want to say about TFC?
No.
All right. Do you know what that means? That means we got to make some picks. We got 13 up until 1. This is the big point of the season, whether you look like an idiot or you don't.
This is a very live picks for me here. I just didn't. I didn't have time this afternoon to take notes. I like to like list out my teams in the order I thought. And so I'm just like, as my brain's working, I'm like, all right, I think I have them in the playoffs.
I mean, okay. It's gonna be tough for you then, man. You did pick MLS Cup right last year, so I will say that.
Yeah, I'm pretty good at that stuff.
All right, so I'll go first to give you a little bit more time. We're going to start with 13, and we'll go 13, 13, 12, 12, all the way up. So I'm going to go for my 13th team in the Eastern Conference, and that is the Montreal Impact.
Man, I thought we were going to have... I thought we were going to have different ones, but yeah, mine's Montreal. You know, I thought this year, I actually, before we keep going, I think that we might have pretty different picks.
Yeah, I think this year's feeling a little different. I was thinking the same thing when I was putting together my notes. But
we're starting out the same.
It's okay. Well, because look, I think you and I are thinking the same way with the Impact, and tell me if I'm wrong, that the defensive talent, at least for me, the defensive talent isn't there. The head coaching experience is shaky at best. And you add in CCL play, which in the past has fucked a lot of Major League Soccer teams throughout the regular season.
Yeah.
I just want to make
you said
sure.
It well. You said it well.
All right, cool. So you want to start with 12, or you want me to do 12 first?
We can do it like a snake. I think gives us. I think I have Cincinnati. Ooh. Actually, wait, no. I have Orlando. I forgot about Orlando.
I have Orlando. All right. Well, I have Orlando too. Unfortunately, I trust Oscar Pereja. I just don't know if season one is going to be Pereja's big turnaround.
Yeah, I think I agree.
All right, cool. I'm going to go next with 11 then, if I think we're doing this way. Inter Miami.
There is a team that I'm forgetting about, so give me like... Oh, it's New England. Sorry.
God damn it, New England. no, so 11th, I have Inter Miami in my spot there.
This is where I have Cincinnati.
All right, cool. I figured. So I mean, you've voiced your displeasure over FC Cincinnati, but for me, Miami, I just don't think they have enough, and I think the MLS talent that they do had that kind of saves them a little bit is a little older, and I'm not crazy about that. Cool. So we'll go to 10.
Is it? Wait. 13,
it's your turn.
12, 11, 10. Yeah, I think it's gonna be Rebels.
Wow.
I'm pretty low on that. I honestly just don't. If Aaron Long doesn't stay all season, this is where they're ending.
Do you want to know why I said wow?
Because you have him 10th?
I have him at 10 too.
Wow. That is a wow.
So we have like the bottom of our table pretty similar there.
The only things we switched are what? Orlando and Cincinnati. Wait, no, you have Cincinnati.
I have Miami. We switched Miami and Cincinnati at 11. So you have Miami pretty high.
Maybe.
All right, cool. So I have Cincinnati a little bit higher. I have them at ninth, so that's what I'll go with, is my ninth team is FC Cincinnati.
I have New England in ninth.
Wow, you think they fall off that much?
I don't think that's that big of a drop, and I think other teams, like I don't, like I said when we were talking about them, I don't think they're worse, but I think other teams are better. I think more, like, yeah. They skated into the playoffs last season.
That was a really good explanation.
Are you being, like, are you lying? Are you saying that, like, sarcastically?
You were just like, I think they got, like, I don't, yeah, worse.
Yeah, I just, I don't know, man. I don't know if I have a full what I believe.
All right, that's fine. That's fine. I just, I don't know if they fall out of the playoffs for me. But, eight, you're up. This is the team that falls just out of the playoffs.
Miami.
Oh, you think Miami? I mean, I can't really say. I don't think Miami's that good, but.
Yeah. I mean, you have your opinion. You're entitled to that. It's wrong, but that doesn't matter.
My team that falls just out of the playoffs. And
don't you fucking say it.
Similar position to 2019. We've been
No.
We've been doing this way too long where you can, like, pick up on my voice.
Please revise.
The Chicago Fire. Eighth place. I think they got better, but I don't think they're good enough for the playoffs.
Okay, I feel like that's a fair. I mean, is it you at seven or do I say seven?
No, sorry, it's me at seven. I just didn't know if you had any reaction to me picking the Fire there.
Just say your seventh.
In seventh, I have the New England Revolution. I think they go back to their.
We're just giving me shit for putting them in ninth, and you have them in the exact same spot as last year. It's literally barely a change.
Yeah, but I think they make the playoffs still.
All right, whatever. I have Chicago in seventh.
Was this more of a homer pick, or you really think they're good enough for the playoffs?
I think it can be both. I think they're good enough for the playoffs. I think it's really depends on so many factors that it's almost like a 50-50 chance.
I mean, look, I had the Fire just outside the playoffs, so I can't say much.
Yeah, I mean, that's where they finished last season, and I think they're a better team.
Okay, you know, I'm not going to say, like, I'm not going to bump them up, but that's fine. That's your opinion, and you're allowed to have it. All right, who do you have at six?
I have Toronto at six.
All right. You have Toronto at six. I got the Union at six. I'm a little down on them. Like I said earlier, I just don't.
Clearly.
I just don't think they did enough to keep up pace with everyone else. But that's me. cool. So in fifth, I have Toronto in fifth, actually. So I have them just a little bit above you.
I trust
that team more than Jim Curtin. It's pretty much my reason for putting Toronto over Philly.
I have Columbus.
Columbus? What? You're not going to like my rest of my picks.
You have Columbus in first?
Who's your four pick?
My four is DC.
I have DC as well in fourth. I'm with you there. I really like DC's team. I just don't trust Ben Olsen and, like, a bunch.
Yeah, he scares me a bit. But their team is good, so they just need a new player coach.
Ah, shit. This is when you bring in, like, fucking, I don't know. Who's an older player floating around out there? Vincent Kompany?
Oh, I mean, isn't he already a player coach at wherever he started his career?
I thought he got demoted from the coaching side of it.
Oh, maybe he did. Well, then maybe I wouldn't want to bring him in.
cool. I'll go with my three seed, Atlanta United.
Interesting.
I think the ATL is good. But
you are high on Columbus.
I'm flying high, man. Flying high.
My three is... Wait, is it me? It's three, right?
Yep.
My three is Philly.
Ew. That's just an ew pick for me right now. Not that I hate the Union, but I don't know. You're hoping that the striker combination pulls out something this year.
Well, we'll see what happens in a couple months.
I mean, we will, man. Just remember, I picked LAFC being the extraordinarily dominant team in Major League Soccer last year.
Remember, I picked the winner. All right? That's all it needs to be
said. Oh, you went for TFC Seattle. You're so, so original.
I didn't pick TFC in it, first of all.
I thought you did.
No, I picked Seattle Atlanta, I think.
Oh, yeah, you did. Never mind. Ignore
but I
me.
Picked Seattle to win it, and they did, so...
Still so original.
I mean, it doesn't need to be original if it's right. It can just be right.
I'm going to go with my two pick, and I'm picking NYC FC.
Holy sh... Are you kidding me? This is where you have Columbus? Wow.
So yes, that means I have the Columbus Crew finishing first in the Eastern Conference.
I am amazed.
Are you?
More so because you didn't seem like you were this high on them.
I was trying to hide it. I was trying to not.
I almost said you hid it. You hit it quite well.
I hit it so well.
I have Atlanta in second.
And obviously NYCFC in first.
Yeah, I have NYCFC in first.
You know what worries me about that? Is that usually the teams like people pick in first place don't usually end up in first place, and I don't like that idea.
I mean, it worked last year.
Sure.
For you.
Sure. But I picked NYCFC to miss the playoffs last year too, so.
That's true. I picked them in like 11th.
Yeah, not great.
Or 10th. Yeah, not a good look for me.
MLS.
But yeah, I have NYCFC in first. I mean, they returning like their four biggest output players.
Yeah, I mean, they're returning an entire starting 11, which is nice.
You can't complain there, huh?
Do you want to do this or do you want to end the show? Do you want to go through what the playoff scenarios would look like? We did it last year. I just don't know if you want to do it again.
I guess we could go through playoff scenarios up until like the finals, right?
Yeah.
Eastern Conference. Yeah. I say we do that because then we'll do the Western Conference episode. And at the end of that, we can just go one step further.
Got you.
Listen
cool.
to this one first, please. We should have said that at the beginning.
Yeah, make sure. I mean, if you want some spoilers, you listen to it. If you like to read like Wikipedia before watching a movie, then you listen to the other one first.
Yeah, you're also
but
weird.
You're a fucking freak if you do that. So I'll do mine to give
no
you...
No judgments here.
No, I'll judge the shit out of you. I'll do mine to give you time to look up on how yours would lay out.
How am I even going to do that?
I got you. I can do it right now. So my 2-7 matchup would be NYCFC New England, easily picking NYCFC. My 3-6 matchup would be Atlanta Philly. I'm picking Atlanta. And my 4-5 matchup would be DC Toronto, and I would pick DC United over TFC, who probably is going to make another fucking run this
Should
year.
Should we do each our first rounds,
yep.
Or do you want to go all the way through yours?
No, we can do first round. So you,
okay, my 4-5. I figured it out.
Sorry, I apologize.
My 4-5 is DC versus Columbus. I would pick Columbus.
Oh, so now we're picking the Crew. Fucking.
My 3-6 is Philly versus Toronto. I think it's going to be Philly.
Okay.
And my 2-7, oh, this one's going to hurt. It's Atlanta versus Chicago, and I would pick Atlanta.
God damn, you couldn't be faithful to your team. That's really depressing.
Bro, you just call me out for even putting them in the playoffs.
All right, cool. So my matchups would then go to, if I'm doing this correctly, the Columbus Crew facing DC United, where I would have Columbus winning.
That's one versus the winner of 4-5, right?
Yep, so that's one versus, well, one gets the lowest. Oh, no, shit, it's one versus the winner of 4-5. You're right. I fucked that up.
Good thing I'm here.
I still did it right. Don't worry, I still did it right.
Not really, though.
The Crew would beat DC United. And I would pick NYCFC. not NYCFC to beat Atlanta. Don't really trust NYCFC in the playoffs, but fuck it, that's where we're going.
Okay, I had Columbus as my 4-5 winner versus NYCFC. Ooh, I would pick NYCFC.
Yeah, you would.
And then I have Atlanta versus, who did I have, 3-6? Philly. Mm-hmm. I would, oh man, this is no fun. Oh man, I'd pick Atlanta.
Yeah, you would. You know what you would. So my Eastern Conference final would be Columbus versus NYCFC. You know MLS
Cup. You're going with the boys.
The MLS Cup is running through Yankee Stadium, NYCFC.
That would be just like the worst part about the whole thing.
It would be.
But unfortunately, damn it, dude. I really didn't want to have to do this.
You got NYCFC Atlanta. Who are you picking?
I already made my decision. It just so happens to be the same decision as yours.
Yes, it is.
All right. Well, it's going to be NYCFC. No shame in that one. You're welcome.
Boys, bring it home.
You didn't even put my boys in the fucking playoffs.
Yeah, because you guys aren't good. That's cool, though. That was
an unnecessary comment. I really hope you guys end up in, like, 12th.
Nah, we're good. We got City Football Group. Don't worry.
Right. Yeah, they'll just, like, give you a shitload of money.
Pretty much. Or we get some loanies, maybe. Maybe Kun Aguero decides to...
He's like, I want to play Champions League, but he's like, I'll pick the wrong one.
I want to play CONCACAF Champions League. God.
You get all of them. They just swap teams with Manchester City. That would be hilarious.
Yo, I would not hate it. I wouldn't hate it.
They're like, we can't win the Premier League, so we'll win this.
I mean, that's fine. I don't care. I don't give a shit about Man City. I really don't.
I don't like City Sports Group.
Yeah, whatever. We should just make an all-star team from everyone from Sevilla, Man City, NYCFC, and Melbourne City. It would still be Man City.
They already just call it Manchester City.
I was going to say, it'd already be Man City's lineup, but maybe we get like a bench player in there. Maybe. We'll see.
Maybe.
All right, cool. So I'm going to finish, close out this show by saying thank you to our sponsors, Roughneck Scarves and Icarus FC. If you guys don't know, Roughneck Scarves is the official scarf supplier to Major League Soccer, USL, and US Soccer. So you can get your custom scarves for any of your Eastern Conference teams at roughneckscarves.com. And if you guys are tired of the same old uniforms, jerseys, cookie cutter templates that like Nike and Adidas that are out there every single year, you can look at something completely unique, something completely new, and a completely custom kit for your youth club, for your Sunday league club, for yourself, for even if you're a pro team manager out there, I don't know. Icarus FC, they can help you create the kit of your dreams at an affordable price. Let them help you design your custom kit today at IcarusFC.com. Thank you guys for listening. Stay tuned for another episode, probably in a few days' time for the Western Conference preview and some of our more... picks for award winners. Yep, that made sense.
Yeah.
Peace.